Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Thank God it's Friday now for real, Earl.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it.
I guess it's all right and safe to say it today.
The weekend.
Yeah.
Finally.
You know, the weekend. It wasn't that long ago that I was saying it didn't matter to me whether it was Monday or Sunday.
You're eating those words a little bit?
Yeah, I am, because if I just go back to 5 months or so ago, it didn't matter to me whether it was Monday or Sunday. I wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying retirement and, just doing nothing, you know, working out a little bit, which has been fruitful. I lost somewhere around 12, 14 pounds.
Wow, teach me your ways. That's amazing.
Yeah, in the last 6 months to a year. And so I'm happy with that. I feel good about that. And went to the doctor on yesterday, and they gave me the good news that whatever it is I'm doing, keep doing it. And so didn't matter to me whether it was Monday or Sunday. And now, you know, so many things going on in my life that now I absolutely know the difference between Monday and Friday.
You would miss me every weekday. Come on.
I look forward to Friday now. Kind of like I did when I was, you know, a young man. And Friday meant that I got to party all Saturday.
Except you and I are going to bed at 8:30.
Friday night and Saturday. But I'm in bed. There's no question. 10 o'clock at the latest.
Oh, yeah. That's a late night for me now as well. And I feel a little embarrassed saying that. But you know what? We're here bright and early. So
Yeah. You know, and we're going to be joined by one of my favorite guests of all time, Mr. Tom Nelson, he was a candidate for United States Senate, and he's going to be joining us in studio at 9 o'clock. Sam, he's my favorite guest.
I'm excited.
Right, he is just such a great guy, and you know, there's just no justice in the world when a man with his talents and commitment, is not a front runner in all of this. He's just the right man, and it just goes to show, you know, things aren't always right in the world, and the best people don't always wind up in the best positions. But anyway, Sam, this is a story you love. And I'm going to start off with it.
I'm nervous.
One of your favorite people, Kyle Rittenhouse.
Oh, good. good. I missed hearing that name.
He launched his own violent video game. You know, I don't know how.
How is that not illegal? He killed people.
The object of the game is to kill fake news turkeys.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. May the souls of the men that he killed rest. But the fact that they allowed this urchin an opportunity to make money with that kind of a shooting game, right?
Yeah, that makes me sick.
It should make anybody with any moral fabric sick. And the fact that he even gets any mention is really a plague on all of us, because this man, whether he's young or not, this man should go down in the annals of history as one of the most wretched people that's ever been produced. I really do feel that because of what he did. And not only what he did, but the fact that he still walks around as if what he did was right and proper. And then he just does not have within him the kind of spirit that would say, I want to get past that, right? Let's let that lie. I don't want to even talk about those things again. So anyway, here's what Kyle Rittenhouse has done lately. Kyle Rittenhouse has launched a new video game where users can shoot fake news turkeys. Rittenhouse reportedly plans to use the proceeds from the game to fund his lawsuits against media outlets for defamation.
Oh, my God.
Rittenhouse was acquitted last year in the fatal shootings of two people and the wounding of another during the riots in Kenosha. You'll remember. The media is nothing but a bunch of turkeys with nothing better to do than push their lying agenda.
Huh.
And destroy innocent people's lives, he said in a promotional video for the game, which is selling for $10. Rittenhouse collaborated with video game developer Mint Studios, whose CEO said that we had to step in to help Kyle after we saw what was done to him. You know, it is, you know, it makes you regurgitate whatever it is you ate or drank this morning. You know, and anybody with a heart at all should speak out against this, right?
My university education warned me about people like him. It really did, and how dangerous these people are to journalists and to, like, just news in general. Like, that's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And somehow makes this guy a hero. You know, I remember years ago, there was a decision made by many news outlets and journalists that they would not mention the names of serial killers and killers who had slaughtered many people, mass murderers. We're not going to mention their names because we think that the more we mention their names, the more they'll be copycat people. And so they talked about that. Why is this the case with Kyle Rittenhouse? You know, why are they still talking about him? And why is it that he continues to be a darling? I get it. He's a darling to people on the right who won't admit the fact that he's a criminal and a murderer, and somehow they cheer him on. And it is the conservative wing of things and the Republicans who still have expect him or allow him to be keynote speakers at many of their events. Have you ever heard Kyle Rittenhouse speak? So why is he a keynote speaker? What is there about him that you should admire him, right? What's admirable about Kyle Rittenhouse? Again, a murderer. And yet you somehow on the right side of things, conservatives, how can we see that so differently, right? I mean, all of us are supposedly human, but how can one side of the human family see this person who took the lives of human beings, innocent human beings, and maimed the third person? And all of us see that and say, well, this is a criminal. You know, what he did, he should be locked up. He should be in jail. He shouldn't be free to walk around and create opportunities to make money. What makes him famous? He killed killed some people.
He got away with it, I guess. Yeah. Like, is that what's so? No, that's disgusting.
Well, that's so, you know, why people are so enamored with him, I guess, right. On the right, is because, you know, they see him as a hero because he killed the bad guys in their minds, right?
Yeah, those innocent people are horrible bad guys.
Yeah, because they were on the left, right?
Oh my God!
You know, they were not like us. They didn't think like we did, so they deserve to be murdered. That's in essence what they're saying,
right?
And so, if there's somebody who killed other folk, you can't beat them talking about the criminals that other people are who murder people. But yet, their darling, Kyle Rittenhouse, is spared that. That's why it's so frustrating to me that these people on the right, and yes, I am ramping up my conversations about them because they should be exposed clearly for what they are. You can't say and talk about things that you feel are at the root of what's wrong in our country, and then support a murderer and think that what he's done is okay. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. What do you say? Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sam, there's all of these things that I don't understand about our government, about our country. And you know, I know there are people who always say to me, you're always talking about our nation and all of these kind of things. But I understand that we live in a free society, supposedly. And I know that everything's not right in our country and that we should be willing to challenge her to be a better place. But here's another one of the issues that I don't understand. And maybe you in the audience can explain it to me. You know, there's a shortage of blood donors, Sam. It's at one of the worst points in our history, and I'm a blood donor. But why is it, knowing that there's a shortage of blood donors in the society, that we discriminate against some blood donors?
You just hit a chord that I have been very angry about. I don't know if you watch Grey's Anatomy, Earl.
No.
They just ended their season. It's like probably 15 to 18 seasons at this point, but they just hit on that exact issue of why specifically one of their gay nurses cannot donate blood in this severe, severe blood shortage. Yeah. And it's a great question.
It shouldn't be a great question. It is foolish.
Mm-hmm.
When people are dying and need blood, you know, to say that gay people's blood, we are not going to take. Now here's. Maybe somebody in the audience can explain it to me, because I just don't get it. I really don't get it. Are they afraid that what's in gay people's blood is somehow going to make somebody else gay? I mean, what other reason can it be?
Like, I get it goes back to the AIDS and everything, but that's not relevant anymore. That's not relevant, and everyone knows that. Like, everyone knows that.
Well, so my thing is, if you need blood for survival, and heterosexuals aren't giving blood, What is the other option?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
I mean, if there are people who are willing to give blood, and you know that you can't get it anywhere else.
And it's good, clean blood.
Well, you know, excuse me. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's, again, Republicans who won't allow that to happen. Close to two dozen Senate Democrats have called on the Food and Drug Administration to provide an update on its efforts to change what they refer to as discriminatory blood donor deferral policies for gay men. In a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Bacara and Food and Drug Administrator Commissioner Robert Califf, Senate Democrats have asked them to act on the most up-to-date science and update its blood donation policies amid the first ever declared national blood shortage. U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Elizabeth Warren, along with 23 of their colleagues, have signed the letter and said that it would be a long overdue step that would dramatically increase the eligible donor base. They further wrote that while they note and applaud the agency's responsiveness in the early days of the pandemic, when the FDA shortened a deferral period for men who have sex with men from 12 months down to 3 months, it is critical that the FDA take further action. For nearly 40 years, sexually active MSM have not been allowed to donate blood. This must change, the letter reads. If you are in a position where, you know, blood is, if you don't get blood, that your life, you know, that your life is in jeopardy, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And there are people stepping up and saying, hey, I want to donate my blood. I just, for the life of me, Sam, don't get that. I don't understand it. And I know there are people in this audience who are listening who may, you know, agree with the fact that we don't want to risk things with gay men, you know, giving blood or donating blood. Again, the worst time in the history of the nation, blood shortage. You need to let that go. That needs to, you need to get beyond that. But we just continue in this country and in this society. We can't get past things that just don't make sense to me. You have to get to a point where, you know, bigotry, and yes, there are people who are bigoted against gay people. You're seeing it all the time, especially right now, with those on the right, conservatives. Sam, who do we have on the line?
Up first is Jackie from Milwaukee.
Hey, Jackie, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome. Hey, I just have to comment on giving blood because I have Lyme disease, and it used to be that they wouldn't take people with Lyme disease. And I asked people were donating blood to the Red Cross. They said, "Oh, sure, we'll take you if you have Lyme." And I said, "Would you take me if I have mycoplasma? Because there's many co-infections with Lyme." They didn't know, so they made a call, and they were told, "Oh no, you can't take a person with mycoplasma." Well, many people with Lyme have mycoplasma. They might not even know it. If they weren't tested for it, they wouldn't know it. But yet they're refusing good blood. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know the reason they're refusing it. You know,
well,
clearly they're refusing it because of their homophilia.
Right.
And the fact that they're saying, well, these people are different, and maybe their blood is, you know, maybe it's not red. Maybe it doesn't have hemoglobin in it like the rest of ours. They're different.
Right.
You know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it really is crazy, but it's, again, part of what I can't come to grips with and never will in this country. The fact that we have people who just won't open their minds and just don't understand. And these aren't just people who aren't educated. They're people who are highly educated. Who have these feelings and these ideas, who just can't get past the fact that people are different. But when
and
it comes,
people shouldn't be the decision makers.
No, that's well. See, and that's it, because this again is a political decision, and unfortunately, we see again it's those folk on the right who for whatever reason, we're talking about the people on the right, but all these people are really wrong people, wrong-headed people. And yeah, well, thank you very much for the call. We got to go to a break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
If you think you need a home inspection, you probably do. Hi, I'm Todd Osborne of Orion Inspections. And buyers, sellers, and even flippers, I'm talking to you. Knowledge is power when it comes to real estate transactions. You'll get an image-packed, searchable, digital, printable report of the condition of the house, things to keep an eye on, any safety issues or defects, and the knowledge to make smart, informed decisions. Your instinct is telling you to get an inspection, and instincts are usually right. Learn more or schedule today at orioninspections.com.
I'm Kirk Bangstad, and I own the Minocqua Brewing Company in Deep Red, northern Wisconsin, and I have a super PAC. We make good trouble by buying billboards, radio ads, and calls to voters in northern Wisconsin. We target federal and state elections, think Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany, and concentrate on a fair redistricting process. Give a donation now if you're able at the MinocquaBrewingCompany.com super PAC tab. Help us make the politics of the Northwoods as clean as our lakes and streams. That's the MinocquaBrewingCompany.com super PAC tab.
For the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM, I'm Sam Butson with your headlines. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson has been unable to get his story straight in regards to his involvement of the plan to deliver slates of fraudulent electors for Wisconsin and Michigan to then-Vice President Mike Pence on January 6, 2021. Earlier this week, Johnson denied knowledge of involvement in the handoff of the electors, bouncing blame between an unnamed intern and a new chief of staff. Then on Thursday, Senator Johnson said that Pennsylvania Congressman Mike Kelly provided the fraudulent documents to Senator Johnson before the election certification, who immediately responded such claims were plentifully false. Later in the day, Senator Johnson then said it was Trump lawyer Jim Traubus who attempted to use Johnson's office to get the documents to Pence. Mostly sunny skies in the forecast with winds up to 10 miles per hour and a high of 89 degrees. Partly cloudy skies expected this evening with an overnight low of 63 degrees. You're listening to The Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm talking about a Senate Democrats call on the Food and Drug Administration to change discriminatory blood donor policies. And I was saying before we go to Tom, Democrats, senators are supporting this bill. They added that it continues to effectively exclude an entire group of people from the donor base and does not meet the urgent demands of the moment. They demanded that the FDA adopt evidence-based policies focused on the assessment of an individual's risk instead of what they refer to as inaccurate and antiquated stereotypes currently present in the deferral guidelines. The agency's current deferral period of 3 months was updated from 12 months in 2020 to address the urgent need for blood during COVID-19. And according to the letter, as a result of the advances made in blood screening and safety technology, a time-based policy for gay and bisexual men is not scientifically sound. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A., hey, Tom, what's going on? What do you say?
Hey, Errol, first off, we the people are the government ultimately, and the Republicans are the pro-death party. Errol, this is probably one of the biggest issues that I have personally been through. I used to give blood when I lived back in Wisconsin many, many years ago. And Michelle Obama was, encouraging people to do things for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to start giving blood again. And I went in to, give blood because I had been in a monogamous relationship now for over 20 years, and they still had that question on there. Have you had sexual relations with someone of the same sex in the past, 3 months or 6 months or a year? I can't remember what it was. And the person said to me, you don't have to, tell the truth on this. I'm like going, no, I said, this is part of my whole being. This is part of, I have felt more discriminated in that moment than I probably, and maybe I'm talking from white privilege here, but I have, what's in my body, what's my blood. It's like, there's nothing wrong with my blood. And for someone to tell me that either I have to answer a certain way on a test, or I can't give blood when blood is so needed. This has been one of my biggest, besides getting money out of politics, but this personally has been one of my biggest, things that I have, been fighting on, for years. 'Cause it's just the feeling that I had when they said, no, we're sorry, you can't get blood. I'm like going, first off, we're not living in the '80s. And second off, all blood can be tested to make sure that the blood is okay. There are people maybe that are HIV positive that should not be giving blood, but they can test that and see that. But the thing is, it was probably, like I said, this is something that comes from inside of you. It's blood that comes inside of you. So it really felt like they were actually just following the stereotypes. And
even beyond the fact that, the entire creation, animals and humans, all based on blood. That's life. There is no life without blood. So the people who need the blood, they're not saying, I don't want a gay person's blood. When you see that this is so necessary, and where exactly we are, heterosexual people aren't giving blood. Okay?
Right.
They're just not. Not enough people are willing to give blood. I don't understand it. I think they're afraid. As a person who gives blood, you've got enough blood in you. And they don't take it to an extreme that you're going to run out of blood. The blood replenishes itself. And right. And so I don't understand, me personally, why.
Like
and
I said, I gave blood for years, Earl. And then when, because I fell into the trap that when I was, more playing the field and stuff like that, I was like, okay, I guess, I'm not supposed to give it, which was ridiculous in the first place. But then when I was like, okay, I'm in a relationship now and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, they're even saying that if you have any type of intimacy with the partner that you're with and you're monogamous, that you still have to deny who it is that you are in order to give blood. And I'm not willing to do that, but I have wanted to give blood for so long. I want to be able to help another person. I have the ability. I know what giving blood is. It's the simplest thing in the world. You get the cookie afterwards and or salt and crackers afterwards. And you know what? I would love, I implore every person out there that's listening to this radio station to fight for this issue, because this is the most ridiculous, stereotypical, just insane issue in the world. But I have in my own directory, you know, gayandlesbianpages.com, glpages.com, I have promoted, you know, the fact of fighting against this. I have written about this because of the fact that it happened to me personally. And I really, really felt like a toxic person. Hey, and I hadn't even done anything wrong.
Hey, Tom,
I hope people understand that that's the way people feel. And it's not a good feeling. Just think, if you were denied the ability to give blood, well, there's nothing wrong with your blood. You just want to do it to help your fellow man or woman.
Hey,
this is ridiculous.
Hey, Tom, man, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it.
I think it is
ridiculous. And again, we're talking about the difference between life and death. And if people don't want gay people giving blood, then it's incumbent upon heterosexual people to donate blood. Let me tell you what it reminds me of. And I've had these conversations with people of color in my community. There are times that in my community, people of color get upset because white people would adopt black children. And they would say, we're tired of seeing white people adopt our children. And my response has always been, love doesn't have any color. And so if you don't want white people adopting our children, then you start adopting them. I just don't understand people, right? I don't understand. It's easy to point your finger at other people who are trying to do things that are right. And if you don't like what they're doing and you think that this shouldn't happen, then you have an option, right? Your option is that you step forward and do what the people who are trying to do right are doing. You know, but it's so easy to sit back and point the finger at others who are attempting to do what's right when you won't. So my thing is, hey, blood is blood is blood. And they have a way, as Tom has stated, of testing it. But if that, you know, doesn't float your boat, if it turns your stomach, and you think that, you know, that because, you know, people are gay, that they shouldn't be given blood, and then, you know, step up and do it yourself. If not, shut up. I'm sorry. Be quiet. just really, you know, just stop running off at the mouth about these things that you aren't willing to do yourself. And that goes for a lot of different things in this country, that the same kind of people saying these things are not willing to do those things themselves. All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Sing with me, y'all.
One word, one word.
We only got
one word, one word.
That's all we got.
One word, one word.
If something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with the good world, world.
One word, one word.
That's all we got.
One word, one word.
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to ask the question of, you know, all of you, but especially those on the right. What happens if the Republicans leave Donald Trump behind? You know, what happens if the Republican Party finally comes to their senses and says, look, we've been watching the September 6th hearings. January 6th hearings. And we realize that Donald Trump is the wrong person. And we know that he's going down. Clearly, anybody watching that knows that he's going down. There's no way he's going to survive this. And even if it doesn't mean that he's going to jail, it clearly shows who he is and what he's done. And anybody who's willing to push that narrative and still think that Donald Trump should be, their guy, 40 to 50% of Republicans and conservatives still believe in this guy. And so even in the face of all of those things, I'm telling you now, there's no way possible that Donald Trump is ever going to become the president of the United States ever again. You know, I'm willing to put up everything that I have to back that up. There's no way possible that this man is going to be able to ever again become the president of the United States. Ain't gonna happen. You know, because even Republicans, some of them, and conservatives, some of them, you know, they haven't lost total control over their faculties. And even though they love him, they realize this is a failing proposition at best to somehow believe that a man who's been exposed as one of the lowest of the low, who lacks humanity at all, even at its lowest level, that's Donald Trump. That's who he is. That's who he's always been. That's who he's always going to be. And any Republican who sees that a clear picture and still decides to vote for him, well, you got to question their lack of humanity themselves. But make no mistake about it. What happens then if what we know is going to happen, the fact that this man is never going to become the president of the United States ever again, where do they go from there? You know, it's a place, it's a time where people have to really sit down and think about it and make adjustments to their thoughts. It's not an easy thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. To still support this man in the face of all of his baggage. To still support this man on the face of all of his baggage is an amazing thing to me. And I don't know, can you hear that right? Can you hear? Are you okay? Need to turn that up? Down. Okay, let's bring in my guest. Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little better. It's fine.
You need it higher or lower?
Lower.
Maybe I got the wrong one. Is that it?
A little bit more.
A little bit up?
Yep. No, down. Perfect. Down. Perfect. Perfect. That's good.
Okay. All right. Sam, do you have... All right, Mr. Tom Nelson, who is a candidate for the U.S. Senate. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. It's good to be on again.
Hey, let's get up here and get up here.
All right. Yeah, that's great. It's great to be back on again. I love it. This is one of my favorite radio shows. This is good. You're just great host.
So before we get into all those other things, I'm asking the question about what happens to people who see what's going on with and the truth being exposed in these hearings. And well, they see this man for who he is.
I think it's very revealing. I think for a lot of us that were hoping that we wouldn't learn about these things, because a lot of us knew that this was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, back in January of 2021, I think it was like January 7th, right after the insurrection, I called for Ron Johnson to resign. And the reason why, and there's some history here, and one of the reasons why I got into this race so early, October of 2020, is I had a sneaking suspicion that Ron Johnson was going to break his promise and run for a third term.
Right.
And if he was going to do that, we needed a Democrat on point that was holding him accountable every single day. And that's what we have been doing for almost 20 months. And back in January, he had spent, prior to that, about 2 or 3 months of ginning up these election conspiracies and ginning up false information about COVID. He was abusing his position of chair of the Homeland Security. So I thought to myself, if he is really into these conspiracies, okay? Like he was a bulldog on an ankle bone.
Right, right.
There had to be something here that he was doing more than just getting angry and yelling to a microphone, that he was more involved in what he was letting on to be. And here we are 18 months later, and it is pretty clear that our suspicions have been completely confirmed, that he was indeed an active participant. He was not just ginning things up from his public position, but he literally was physically involved. He was handing the electors. He was handing these fake ballots. He was directly involved. He needs to go to jail. He needs, and I'm not just saying that in a pejorative sense that we need to, you know, get rid of this guy, though, but it is clear as day that he has broken the law. DOJ has got to do an investigation. I was the first candidate. So look, I was the first candidate to call on him to resign. I was the first candidate to call on him to be subpoenaed back in January. And I'm the first candidate to call for an investigation by the Department of Justice.
The last 3 days or so, he's changed his mind on a story.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
No.
And so we're talking about at the highest level of government.
Right. I mean
we're not talking about a state representative, right? I mean, I'm not, it's bad enough for a county supervisor, right? Or school board. We're talking about a United States senator, one of the most powerful people on earth, who's led this.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to do what he should do.
Mm-hmm.
He should be like the proverbial turtle and stick his head back in the shell and leave, right?
Or what we could do is we could take the turtle and put it on top of the fence post.
Yeah.
What's this thing about he didn't get there, but we knew someone else was involved, right? You know, like you just sit there like, what's he doing up there?
Right.
Just keep him up there for the rest of his life. Let him cook in the sun.
Yeah, he really should be walking away. Got to go to a break. I'm so happy Mr. Tom Nelson is back in the studio, back in the saddle again. We'll be right back.